across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Trying so hard to stay hydrated and cool. Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, August 23rd, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. The steamy Northwoods from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media radio network, the Civic Media app, podcast, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, we don't care. We're happy you're here for the next couple of hours. We welcome you to the state of Wisconsin Sense. We're going to unpack the news. The spin will get unspun. The big issues will be made uncomplicated. And here is what's on tap this morning. Extreme weather is an unwelcome guest arriving with increasing frequency all over the planet. We're going to talk to Melissa Baldoff in our weekly climate check segment about tropical storm rainfall stretching from the desert southwest to the mountains of Idaho, a seemingly nonstop lineup of Atlantic storms, a massive heat dome over the south, flash floods, and all the things that we can start doing that will make a little difference. It's not going to turn the ship around on a dime, but there are things that we can start doing and are starting to do right now, and we'll talk more about those too. In our second hour, we'll talk about how De Pere has become the latest Wisconsin community where conservatives have tried to claim that flags with rainbows about LGBT inclusion should be subject to exclusion because they're divisive. But to whom? And what does that say about people who want to exclude symbols of inclusion? I mean, the answer seems self-evident, but we'll talk about that. I believe Kristen Lyerly will join us for part of that discussion, having tipped us off about the discussion going on in De Pere back on Monday night. We'll talk to Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll talk to Todd Alba of the, say it with me, conveniently named Todd Alba Show. The hot, hot, hot weatherology forecast is coming up in our next hour in full detail as well. And I already have the 6 a.m. temps here. And if you're watching on video, take a look at the bottom of your screen there if you turned away from your computer. These are the 6 o'clock in the morning temperatures and then what it's going to get up to today. Now, Wausau, the folks listening on Bull Falls Radio, it is 66 right now. It's going to get to 92 degrees. Here on Lake Wissota, it's already 80 on our way to 97. We've got Waukesha, where folks listening to the Shaw are at 75 degrees on their way to a high of 98. Madison, it's already 79 there. The temperature is going to hit 100 today in the capital city. In La Crosse, it's 80 degrees right now on your way to a high of 102. It is definitely the dog days of summer in Wisconsin. Aaron Zommers can attest to that and our Civic Media Control Center down there in Madison because, well, you just said it was so humid. How humid was it?
Well, I opened my front door and I had to swim to my car or so it
felt
like.
There we go. There. You didn't have your own rim shot ready for yourself.
No, I didn't.
All right. Well, fine. He had to swim to his own car. There we go. Jeez. Yeah, it is that humid. I mean, it's a dry heat thing. Yeah, this is not what we're living through right now, and it's not going to get any better. You know, we have the air conditioning on here in the house, and it's one of those times where it's now so warm outside but cool inside that the house is like a can of pop. You know, you can see all the condensation. You almost can't see out the windows because it's not a function of overusing the air conditioner. It's a function of the humidity that's out there. And that's what we're going to be stuck with today. But Aaron, because I have to work a double shift today, I have to actually pay attention to the presidential primary debate tonight. I'm going to take off a good chunk of this afternoon and get on a pontoon. So what is your mechanism going to be for later today to keep cool?
I am going to stay inside and drink a lot of water. Keep my shades and blinds closed and hope that my room doesn't get too hot because the AC works better on the main floor.
Yeah, it's going to be a day that tests everybody's air conditioning if they have it. And by the way, if you don't have air conditioning, this is not going to be the best day to just try to get the job done by fans alone. In Milwaukee, they've declared a heat emergency. They have closed the schools today in Milwaukee. They have opened some cooling centers as well. So this is really the day to, you know, make sure that, you know, the pets are inside and adequately watered. I've got my little water bottle here standing by right near the coffee cup over there. So yeah, hydration is going to be key today. And by the way, beer does not count as hydration.
No, you'll pass out.
We joke about it a lot here in Wisconsin, but no jokes today. The heat is nothing to mess around with. Well, as always, if you'd like to take part in today's festivities, give us your own how hot is it punchline. Try to top Aaron out. You can call us at 844-967-2789. You can email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com. If you're watching on Facebook, you can leave a comment under the live video feed, and we might see it there. You can also watch us on multiple Facebook pages, Twitter pages, and the Up North News YouTube site as well. So when we get things started to unpack the news, we'll, of course, preview tonight's debate amongst the Republican presidential candidates, and we will kind of get a sense of what all they have to be doing to try to break out of their respective ruts when you look at their polling numbers. We'll also tell you how the Milwaukee Brewers did against the Minnesota Twins. They have a two-game series last night and again this afternoon, and so we'll tell you how that went as well. But first, a little break, get your updated local forecast, and be back wherever you're listening across the state of Wisconsin when you're here on these early weekday mornings. For a couple of hours anyway, you're up north. We'll be right back. Hard to believe it was 9 years ago today, 2014, that the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie soundtrack came out and went to number one on the album charts. It was its own self-described awesome mix of 70s hits, like Norman Greenbaum over there. It was a number one album for 2 weeks back this week in 2014. Well, the Brewers didn't hit the ball particularly hard last night during their go-ahead rally in the sixth inning against the Twins, but it didn't matter. They had just enough bloops and seeing eye singles that led to five runs in that frame, and the Brewers went on to beat Minnesota 7-3. The Twins were up 7-3 when they pulled their starting pitcher, brought in a relief pitcher, and he gave up hits to six of the first seven Brewers he faced. It was just a carousel that kept spinning around as runner after runner would come in. Both teams are still holding on to their leads in their league's respective central divisions, and the Brewers now have the best winning percentage of the season, a full 12 games above 500. They'll do it again this afternoon before the Brewers have one of those coveted off days while at home. And then the San Diego Padres will come to American Family Field for a weekend set. You can hear the game against the Twins, then this weekend against the Padres on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 at 1450 AM, and at Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, all throughout the Fox Valley. Christina Laurie puts together our newsletter every day. It comes out about 5 a.m. And taking a look at what's on the Up North newsletter for today. Let's see. We've got, COVID cases. COVID cases are up 80% in the last month. But hospitalizations remain low and the fall booster shots are just around the corner. Still, there are these two new subvariants that doctors and scientists are following. So it remains something to monitor. Right now, the current vaccine takes care of it, despite whatever Ron Johnson tells you. And so there's no need for any concern, only monitoring that cases are up, but thankfully hospitalizations are down. Also in the newsletter, a University of Wisconsin band member is the first college student to work with Quick Trip under the NCAA's new NIL name, image, likeness partnerships. And so you'll read all about the 21-year-old who is basically, you know, like an athlete who's kind of getting paid now for their name, image, and likeness to, you know, boost a particular sponsor. And one more note from the newsletter, Crib Notes on where tonight's candidates stand on abortion rights before you watch them in the debate tonight, if of course you choose to watch them in the debate tonight. Also, I wanted to let you know that shirts and tote bags are out. You can get some of this fine merchandise over at upnorthnewswi.com. You head to the homepage there, and normally I tell you to click newsletter in the top banner. Well, now if you click store, you'll see that we have five different variations of t-shirts. Some just say Up North News. Some say Wisconsin needs local news. Some say, am I up north right now? There's one that says beer and cheese and voting rights. And then there's a tongue-in-cheek definition of a bubbler. So all of those t-shirts are available along with a tote bag. I think that one is emblazoned with fascists hate facts. A little tip of our cap, to Mark Jacob we talk to every Friday. So again, you can get all of that on our homepage. Just go to upnorthnewswi.com. and click on store in the top banner, and you will be able to take a look at the swag that's available. All right, let's unpack the news. And in doing so, as usual, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, 844-967-2789, or comment on our Facebook live video feed. We have put together, just for internal use only, I believe, we have put together bingo cards. And I want to see if I have an example here just to show Aaron. I think that I do, so I'm going to bring that up on screen in just a second here. But I thought, well, what are some of the things that these eight Republican candidates are going to say during the debate tonight? And I don't know if I can get. Nope, that's the wrong file there. I had a great example, Aaron, of the bingo cards for you. Do you want to take any guess as to what some of the things on the cards might be? Here, I'll give you an easy one to start with. One of the squares says CRT. Another one says the Democrat Party. You want to guess what a couple of others might say?
Hunter Biden and or his laptop.
Oh, yes. Hunter Biden is there. I don't think we put laptop on there. Hunter Biden would be enough of an answer.
I think that's fair.
When I put it out for a suggestion, the answer I got back most often that wasn't on my initial list was woke. Some people said woke ought to be the free space on there.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be mentioned repeatedly.
Oh, yeah. So let me go through. Well, do you want to take one more? I'll give you one, and then maybe it spurs you to take something else. Socialism is going to be on there.
I think that parenting rights is going to be a phrase they put around.
Okay. Indoctrination is on there as well.
They might even use the full acronym and say discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination for DEI.
There you go. Oh, yes. Yeah, DEI just might be a part of it. So just for fun, in case you want to make your own bingo card here, we'll take a look and see what we got. Okay, we had COVID lockdowns, confiscate guns. This is going to be a tough one, but, Chris Christie will say it, but will anybody else say Trump can't win in the general election? Of course, Medicare, Social Security, borders and or the wall, burning down cities, Bidenomics, cancel culture, Obamacare, Green New Deal, radical, inflation, veterans, law and order, small businesses, TikTok, the word liberal. Shameless Wisconsin plug, like maybe they tell us how they milked a cow or something like that. Abortion ban, socialism, take our country back, and we don't really know what causes climate change. So there's make your bingo cards, as you see fit based on those suggestions. And if you have any others, hey, we can always make another card. Again, 844-967-2789. So now some of the semi-serious questions that have to be asked about this. The people up on the stage there tonight at 8 o'clock, how will they handle Donald Trump? And in so, what does that say about what they're actually running for? Who's really running for president there? You know, Ron DeSantis appears to be, Mike Pence appears to be, but some of these others, are they running to be Trump's running mate? Are they running just for, 5 minutes of fame and then want to do something else. Looking at an article from the New York Times about this, they ask questions like, can Ron DeSantis stop the bleeding? I mean, he's been dropping like a rock in polls of Republican primary voters. Same goes for Mike Pence. Can he get out of the 2% rut where he's at? Can Vivek Ramaswamy keep up his newfound momentum? As I said on the show yesterday, I doubt it once people actually listen to this, you know, 9/11 truther. This was an interesting one that was brought up. Is Tim Scott's happy warrior shtick gonna stick? The senator from South Carolina. Do Chris Christie and Nikki Haley do anything to grow out of where they are? The people who like Nikki Haley, I mean, they're there. How does she add fans? And the same goes for Chris Christie. And then finally, Doug Burgum and Asa Hutchinson. Do they just waste our time tonight? Well, I mean, some would say everybody is going to waste our time tonight, but not everybody's going to watch. And if you want a productive debate, to what degree do you want to hear from the people at the far ends of the stage who have the lowest polling numbers? And I don't mean to put a lot of pressure on them, but if they've qualified to get this far, to actually make the national stage for the first debate, the truth is they do have to hit it out of the park like the very first time that their microphone opens up. If they don't say something really impressive that makes people look at them, they're not going to go far. And this is an imperfect example, but think of Barack Obama's 2004 Democratic Convention speech. He was a state senator at the time running for U.S. Senate, and he was given a forum. Now, his obviously was a speech. It was a lot longer. He could be very inspiring and very motivating. That's tough to do on a debate stage, but it's not impossible. But, you know, these folks, we've been mentioning them for weeks now, but in many cases, this is their only chance to make a first impression. And certainly what I'll be looking for from all of them is, where are their actual policy differences? You know, how, where are they on abortion, a ban of so many weeks versus, you know, state by state instead of a national ban? They do have differences on supporting Ukraine. But how about economically? How many of them can say something other than tax cuts for the rich, as far as something that will actually create jobs? And that apparently if you punish schools enough, they do a better job of teaching kids to take jobs, I think is the logic there. So I want to hear what the actual policies are and the policy differences. And so if Brett Baer and Martha McCallum are going to get anything out of the candidates, I hope it's not just attacks on each other and not just either defending or attacking Donald Trump, but I hope we get into what would they actually do if they could, if they got elected president. So we'll be watching for that. Coming back a little closer to home now, there was another instance of Republicans running the Wisconsin legislature wasting your money. There's no other way to put what they're doing here. The Legislative Audit Committee met yesterday. The Legislative Audit Committee used to be one of those panels that rose above partisanship because everybody wants to make sure your tax dollars are spent wisely and that they're not wasted. But now you have Republicans abusing the committee by trying to investigate things that don't have any evidence of needing investigating, whether it was the elections in 2020 or yesterday's topic, which was to audit the state crime laboratories, because Republicans are giving us this mock outrage that there is a problem with the crime laboratories because the processing of evidence has slowed down. And that's true. But they know the answer as to why, and they would know the answer if they owned a mirror. So a joint statement put out by the Democrats on the Legislative Audit Committee, Senator Dianne Hasselbein, Senator Tim Carpenter, State Rep Francesca Hong, and Ryan Clancy, issued a statement about their mock outrage, knowing full well that Attorney General Josh Call requested 16 positions for the crime labs in this new budget bill. Joint Finance and Republicans ignored the request and gave him 3. And now they're going to investigate. Why is the processing of evidence not going as quickly as the Attorney General could? Well, because he knows it could. You told him no. How about investigating yourself? Melissa Baldoff is next with our weekly climate check report after this. You're up north. All right, I know that during these commercial breaks, you sometimes get the latest forecast from Weatherology. We're going to be talking more about climate than about weather in our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. But we're going to get into the weather because a changing climate has made things so wild. Hello, tropical storm warnings in California. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, this is just wild. It's given me, flashbacks to my time in Florida. I born and raised there. I lived in Florida for 30 years, so I've experienced a number of hurricanes, and never thought I'd see one pop up in California like this.
No, 30 years. You've got to be close to a Hurricane Andrew baby or something like that. I know they still talk about some of the big storms down there, but yeah, again, not in Southern California and the desert Southwest. And yet here we are. And look, we're not going to try to sound like we're, trying out for a disaster movie, but you can understand why some people would wonder if we're actually caught up in one, at least lately.
I mean, I think that's a little bit true. You know, you don't want to, I think that's one of the difficult things that we often find when we talk about climate change is striking that balance between alarmist and realist. And, you know, right now we're caught up in a little bit of both. People are scared because of the way the weather has changed and the way that it's impacted them and their lives and their businesses. We see that with the flooding here in Wisconsin, with extreme temperatures, hot and cold. Just this week, started talking, saw a note from my kid's school saying, hey, excessive heat warning, cautioning everybody to stay inside. It's going to be 100 degrees in the Milwaukee area today. We've got schools closed, schools canceling sports practices. Mm-hmm. And that's not something we're used to dealing with. We're seeing it all over the place. So yeah, it is kind of that you don't want to be, screaming that the sky is falling all the time, but we're real
times.
Close to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, look, I've got a daughter in the mountains of Idaho who was getting rained on from, Tropical Storm Hillary getting that far up. It's so here's the thing. There have always been extremes.
Record rainfall in Idaho.
Right. And there have always been extremes. They're called, 100-year, 500-year, storms for a reason. It's not that they've never happened. It's the frequency and it's the power. And that's what a changing climate can do to weather extremes of all types, either, extreme drought or extreme storms, right?
Exactly. And, and when you mentioned too, there have been extreme drought conditions in Southern California, in some of those parts of the Southwest, Southwestern area of the country. And even this storm is not going to do enough to really turn that around. They're going to maybe see some temporary relief, very, very temporary. And then it's going to be right back to those drought conditions because we are having this really uncertain, unpredictable weather that's really threatening our livelihoods.
And, oftentimes we talk about climate change rather than, it was more frequently called global warming. And while we don't use that term as often, it is what's happening, not only in the air temperatures, which have been insane in parts of the globe, but when you look at the water temperatures, both in the Pacific and now in the Atlantic, as these waters warm, it feels good if you're swimming in it, but who else likes to swim in it? hurricanes as they develop mm-hmm. and get stronger that way as well.
Exactly. You know, it's, you know, contrary to what we heard from Senator Johnson previously, the changes we are seeing in the climate are not a good thing for anybody. You know, maybe like you said, there are some very short term things. It's like, oh, hey, it's nice that a few days it's not quite as cold in the winter, or the weather's a little warmer in the summer. You get a couple extra days in Lake Michigan you weren't going to get otherwise. But overall, the impacts of our changing climate are very severe, and they are very dangerous, and they are affecting everybody.
And in the middle, between the Atlantic and Pacific, especially in the far southern states from, you know, Arizona to Texas, you keep hearing about this heat dome. And that, again, is an extreme. Again, it's not like there hasn't been heat in the summertime, but the extent to which it lingers for that many days in a row in triple digits, again, is something that we did not normally see until we noticed the temperature of the atmosphere was growing as we continued to use fossil fuels.
That's right. And I think that's one of the things, you know, where I have just heard more and seen more conversation among farmers and folks working in the agriculture sector, you know, just how deep of an impact these changes are having on their day-to-day. You know, when you think about who are the folks who are out bearing the brunt of these changes, it's folks who are working on farms. We have, you know, people who are out working in public safety, in public utilities, people who are outside for their jobs for most or all of the day. They are working in more extreme heat. They are dealing with these unpredictable storms. And it makes it difficult and dangerous, very dangerous for them to do their jobs. So that's, you know, it's threatening our economies too, when you've got people who are, you know, faced with having to deal with these extreme conditions just to be able to do their jobs.
So along with what we've talked about, you know, down in the South and, you know, in the tropics here in Wisconsin, as you said, you know, the changes have come here too. One of the most noticeable ones that we've done in our coverage of farmers and climate change is that because the air is warmer, it holds moisture better. And so when it does rain, it can rain and rain and rain. And so we're seeing mm-hmm. more flash flooding. We're seeing, you know, more flooding that lasts longer. And this has a very real impact on everything from farm yield to the taxes that we pay that sometimes have to go to disaster relief. So we definitely live it here in Wisconsin, even if it's not to the extent of other parts of the globe.
Absolutely. It is the extreme weather events that we've experienced in Wisconsin over the past about decade come with a cost of about $10 billion to our economies, to our, you know, families and workers. That is a huge price tag when you think about how significant the relief efforts are to deal with these kinds of weather-related crises. And, you know, just when you think about the impact on a family, on somebody whose home is flooded, whose business is flooded. So that's a really high price tag that we are having to pay collectively in Wisconsin. And that's nothing to speak of the emotional cost of knowing that you've lost crops, that you have lost time with your business, that you have kids who are scared because a tree fell on the house in a bad storm. You know, so it comes with a real cost, and it's significant, and it's not going to get any better if we don't do anything about it.
So then we come to the policy end of things and whether there will be any changes. And when we say changes, we're not talking about changes on the political left. We've spoken in this segment many times about the investments being made through the Inflation Reduction Act and other things. But on the right side of the spectrum, you had former Governor Scott Walker removing all references to climate change from Department of Natural Resources publications back when he had first become governor. When Donald Trump first became president, he had ordered the U.S. to withdraw from the Paris Agreement on climate change. So in my mind, the big policy question for these candidates and then, you know, in 2024 and beyond is, are Republicans in elected office in a position where they can start being part of the solution in terms of mitigation, in terms of putting, you know, fewer pollutants into the air? Or are we still going to face this rather insane act of denialism?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the question here is that piece about the denialism, because, you know, you've got people out there making these absurd claims about the climate and denying climate change. And I believe that part of what needs to happen here is greater accountability from our friends in the media to simply refuse to cover some of these insane statements. I understand there is value in the public knowing some of these insane things, but to give equal, to act as if it is an equally valid opinion or statement, I think is very dangerous when you have some of these people who are given a platform to spread disinformation. Disinformation is incredibly dangerous to our democracy and to our well-being, whether it is on the climate crisis or any number of other issues. And I think there's got to be a lot of accountability for people who are out there saying things that I believe most of them know are false. And even if they don't know that it's false, because they've been hiding under a rock somewhere, you know, it's dangerous to allow them to spread that disinformation. So I think that's a big part of it is, you know, preventing the spread of that kind of disinformation, holding them accountable for the things that they are saying when it comes to climate. And, you know, and with any other, like with any other issue that we talk about, that the accountability is really important. You know, you've got Republican elected leaders who, you know, want to ban books and drag shows, but they don't want to take action on the issues that matter. So, you know, I don't know if we want to tell them all that, you know, climate change is actually a drag show. Maybe they'll want to do something about it.
Look, if that's what it takes. But getting back to the people taking action about it, you know, in the Evers administration in the first term, you had then Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes chairing the governor's task force on climate change. And we covered their meetings throughout, including when it was all done, when the main work was done. And the upshot of that was that they're going to continue to be active. And that was seen by some of the things that Governor Evers proposed in this budget, now that he's starting a second term. So we can say with some degree of confidence that the governor's climate change task force from his first term, that work doesn't end here in the second term.
It definitely doesn't. And if anything, I think it expands. And, you know, one of the things I was so, you know, proud of to have, you know, worked on that task force at the beginning and help get it stood up and off the ground. And then to now, since I'm not in the administration anymore, to watch them continue to do this amazing work is knowing that it really is a whole of government operation when it comes to the administration. It is the leadership in every agency who is committed to being a part of this. You know, it's not just the Public Service Commission and the DNR, you know, who you would maybe think would play such a large role in having conversations about the climate crisis, but it is every single agency. You've got DHS thinking about the health impact. You've got the Department of Workforce Development thinking about how we are going to train this new workforce for these clean energy jobs of the future. You've got, you know, folks at DSPIS thinking about how you're licensing these new jobs. WEDC thinking about how to make our economy more attractive to clean energy operations. So it really is like a whole of government approach. And I think that's was such a smart way to do this. and really gets the best results for the people.
Well, because it notes that, again, we're all in this together. And as we talked about with Hans Breitenmoser yesterday on the Inflation Reduction Act, the things that can be done on the farm in terms of land use and conservation. Senator Tammy Baldwin has talked about ways to make infrastructure more resilient. But then on every one of us, the things that we can do, from the way we purchase new appliances and vehicles to remodeling, there's people that love to say, well, this is a global problem. No one person can do anything. Every one person can make a difference, which is part of why we do this segment each week with Melissa Baldoff. And so I think that for what started out as a weather report, I think we made this a very effective way for people to see how they can make a difference in all this. Melissa, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, it'll be time for today's history lesson and music break. And also to let you know, we'll do it now instead of then, that in said history lesson and music break tomorrow and Friday, we'll be giving away Milwaukee Brewers tickets to Sunday's game against the San Diego Padres. That's Thursday and Friday. We'll be back after this. You're up north. I'm not the biggest Rolling Stones fan, but I will always turn this one up to 11 when it plays. Honky Tonk Woman was the Rolling Stones' number one hit in the U.S. this week in 1969 and would stay a number one song for 4 weeks. Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR joins us as she always does on Wednesdays. Hello, Melissa.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm excited.
You're excited?
Sure.
Okay.
It's Wednesday. I get to be here with you cool dudes.
Aw, I thought you were really genuinely excited about something, but you know, I will take your mock excitement anytime. It's a pleasure. So I don't know the Wisconsin Rapids temperature right now, but it's got to be pretty close to 80 and climbing. Yeah, it's just hot. It's just humid. And so we're all just going to try to keep cool. Aaron said he's going to try not to get sunburned during the drive home.
Hey, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see. So here's what we're not doing. We're not singing in the rain. We'll play Gene Kelly's hit a little bit later anyway, because actor and dancer Gene Kelly was born this day in 1912 in Pittsburgh, passed away in 1996. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's go. I oftentimes try to go in sequential order, but I started there with Honky Tonk Women in 1969. I'm actually going to go back to the Beatles in 1963 here, only because Honky Tonk Women is just a great way to start the segment. But I couldn't have gone wrong if I'd have picked this one as well. One of the very early Beatles hits released in the UK on this day in 1963. She loves you, yeah. So depending on the way that you hear the story, now, She Loves You wasn't their first hit, but there was there were one or two others, like And I Love Her, that were just a little on the slower side, and that She Loves You didn't really catch on right away, but that as people started getting more familiar with the first couple of Beatles singles, and then they came to this one apparently is what caused Beatlemania. And it also caused, as I know from watching the old shows and the old cartoons, it caused a lot of outrage among parents who could not believe that this qualified as singing. She loves you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the kids were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. This is the anniversary of the World Wide Web, something that had existed for decades prior, but on this day in 1991, the World Wide Web was opened to the public. And at first, it felt like opening a vault into all of human knowledge. And now sometimes it feels like they've opened up the cesspool.
The can of worms.
Or the can of worms. Or whatever you want to call
it. Pandora's box.
Yes.
Careful what you ask for. You have a vault to all of human knowledge, but it turns out a lot of humans know some pretty stupid stuff.
There you go. Yep. Or
don't know, as
it's
it were.
In some ways a cave of wonders, and in some ways just a bottomless pit. Let's do some birthdays here. Here are two people turning 74 years old today. There was actress Shelley Long. Remember her from Cheers? You probably didn't watch a lot of Cheers, did you?
Nope.
Okay. Well, did you know she was on Cheers? Did you know her?
Yes, I recognize the name.
Okay.
She was on other things too, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was in plenty of other things I think most people know. But also born on this day in 1949 in Australia was singer Rick Springfield. Remember how novel it was when he started stringing together hits, because he was just supposed to be some soap opera actor, and it turns out that he could sing. He did Jessie's Girl and several others. Still does a national radio show called Working Class DJ or something like that. And I've said before, you know, Rick Springfield was easy to mock early on for being, he was just too handsome, and he's a soap opera singer who sings some songs. But I've mentioned before, I saw him at Rockfest in Kadat. This was a long time ago now, but had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hands, and somebody saw him fairly recently and said he's still that good of a showman. So good on him.
All right.
Shelley Long, I've never seen doing Rockfest or anything else for that matter. I don't know what she's doing. This is the anniversary of the birth of Survivor lead singer Jimmy Jameson. Passed away at the age of 63 back in 2014, cardiovascular disease and a brain stroke. But Jimmy Jameson, Survivor lead singer, born this day in 1951. Born on this day in 1971, I know a lot of people don't know Gretchen Whitmer. If I say the name, do you, Melissa?
Why does that sound familiar?
Because she's the governor of Michigan.
That's why.
And She is 52 years old today, and I'm really jealous of our colleagues at our sister outlet, the Gander in Michigan. Mm. They got to sit down with Governor Whitmer, and they did 52 questions for her 52nd birthday. And just a whole lot of, where's your favorite park in Michigan? What's your favorite Michigan-based snack food? Very entertaining.
Michigan facts.
Yes. Yeah. So I just thought that was really great to see that from Michigan's governor. And as I mentioned earlier, the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack was the number one album this day back in 2014. So, Melissa, what is happening at locally grown radio these days?
Oh, we are at the Central Wisconsin State Fair in Marshfield this week.
Oh, okay.
And we're revealing our new logos.
Oh, you have new logos.
Yes, we do.
Rebranding, so, boys and girls.
Yep. So with that, we get to give away shirts and stickers.
Oh, and swag. It's all about the swag.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, look, on the video feed, I've replaced Melissa with some of the Up North News swag.
Some of your swag.
That just came out as well. If you go to upnorthnewswi.com and click store in the top banner, you get all these shirts. All right, let's go back to Melissa
now. But if you come to the fair today, I get to give you shirts.
That is so cool. Is there the truth booth going to be there?
Yes. Yep.
I got to
interview a couple of people yesterday, and it was lots of fun just to get to talk to people at the fair.
And again, it's not we don't give you sodium pentothal and, you know, you suddenly share all your deepest secrets. It's
the questions are easy and favorite fair food,
and enjoyable. And so if you can beat the heat. And so you're going to be out there this afternoon.
Yes, we're in a building, though. We're in the 4-H building tucked back. We've got fans going.
I know what those fair buildings can be like. So I say this in all seriousness, to take care of yourself today.
And, yes. Yeah. You know, be
safe. The folks around you, and drink plenty of water.
Lots of water. Maybe
in addition to t-shirts, you can give out water. I don't know if that's allowed.
I know in Georgia it's not, you know, but I don't think it's a crime in Wisconsin.
Well, nobody's standing in line. Vote. So
nobody's voting.
I think
so
we can give away water.
I guess that's okay. Yeah. All right. Melissa, thanks so much. Have a great time at the fair.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. See you later. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio. In our next hour, what's happening in De Pere, where once again, a rainbow pride flag is being seen as a symbol of division? That and more coming up next here up north.